This is Phil Farron, and I am driving home. It is episode 103, I think. I don't actually have any notes today. Got a little busy, didn't do any notes, and I thought, well, we're just going to do a roundup of the events of the week and go from there. Next week is episode 104. I have talked to my son-in-law about riding along with me. We have no idea what we're going to talk about, but I'm sure we will find something. We can always find something to talk about. It is a gorgeous day here in the Ozarks. It is 73 degrees. Today, the wind is blowing. The sun is out. It's a beautiful, beautiful day. I just had dropped into Walmart to get a few supplies, because I've run out of salad stuff for the week, and so I went to get topped off on that before I drove home, and I was talking to the cashier and telling her what a beautiful day it was, and she said, "That's what everybody's been telling me." She said, "I had to come to work at 10:15 or 10:30. She said, "That's the last time I was outside." So I was telling her she would enjoy it once she was able to get off work. So actually, I was indicating that she was... I didn't actually tell her that. I gave her the impression that she was... Sometimes I'm a little careful about, you know, asking women, "So when do you get off work?" Because, you know, that's not good. Anyways, it's been a good week, an interesting week. I made some decisions with the Vaneworks stand this week that were kind of interesting, and I thought, well, let's just see what happens. Google AdWords is doing a mobile thing where if you take out a mobile-only advertising and you have at least one hit, and it's in operation on March the 31st, that they will give you $100 credit to your account. So I went ahead and set that up, and in no time at all, they were taking advantage of my entire budget for the day. So I backed that off. I don't think I'll have any trouble getting click-throughs, and I'm gonna wait to re-enable it until like March 30th. To make sure I get a few click-throughs and earn my $100. I haven't seen really much benefit to doing that kind of advertising. And in fact, this week I decided, you know, I think I'll just shut off the advertising for a week and see if it makes any difference. And so far, it hasn't made any difference. My sales have not plummeted. They just keep dinking along. So, you know, I don't think there's any point in spending that money every day to get it out there in front of people if it's not going to make any difference how many I sell. So, but you know, that just keeps puttering along. It's fine. I'm working on my Windows 7 app. I'm really close. I have stumbled across a really weird bug. In fact, I was talking to a buddy about it today, because I beat my head against it for 3 hours last night and just didn't make any progress at all. Well, that's not true. As Thomas Edison said, of all his failed attempts, well, at least I know how not to do it now. And I can say, well, at least I know what things it isn't. And I can go... I can go from there. I did have an idea this morning that popped into my head. I will call it a whisper if it works, about where the problem might be. So tonight I'm going to try that and see if that resolves the issue. And then I have some documentation to do, and I have some recording to do and packaging. And I've got to hire out the recording for the female voice that I need for it. But I'm getting close. So hopefully in a couple of weeks here, we'll have that up and see how that does. And I can tell you this, I'm a whole lot more comfortable building digital products than I am building physical products. So, oh, and speaking of which, rats, I should have responded to somebody last night. I got the EPUB and the Kindle versions of Amanda and the Skleeberry Tree. And I forgot to respond to the guy who sent them to say thank you and that I would check them out. And so I will get that done, and then I'm going to get those uploaded. I might do that tonight. Get those uploaded and put my really cheap prices on them, and then this weekend I will start seeing if I can find book bloggers to review them for me. So we're working on that little project as well, and then if the uploads and all that kind of stuff go fine and seems to be available and everything's good, then I might just go ahead and convert all of the other fiction that I've written over the last several years here, get them converted, get them uploaded. My plan is that if the book is 250 pages or less, I'm going to sell it for 99 cents. And if it's around 500 pages, I'm going to sell it for $1.99. And if it's over 500 pages, I'm going to sell it for $2.99. Because that's about what I would make per copy anyways, and apparently that's kind of getting to be a thing with authors, that they bypass the publishing companies, and they sell their stuff cheap, and people seem to enjoy getting a good deal, so we're going to give this a try. I mean, I've been giving them away for free on the website, so it certainly can't be any worse than that in terms of financial compensations, and who knows, might make a few bucks here. Of course, the big thing with everything, as always, is getting above the ground noise. But at least I have a better idea a little bit of how to go about doing that than I used to. So that will be interesting to see how that all goes, and I will get that started maybe tonight or at the very least this weekend, and we'll see where we can go from there. This week, for my viewing pleasure, I tuned into the Amen Solution, which was a program that is used for fundraising on PBS. It was showing on my local station. And I started watching that, and I had heard the guy speak before. His last name is Amen, as in Amen. A-M-E-N. But he had added a bunch of stuff to it, and it was really quite good and, frankly, inspiring. And after I watched it, I thought, okay, enough with the foolishness. Time to get on the program and stay on the program. Because I had actually put on a couple of pounds over the whole holiday season. It actually started with our wedding anniversary trip, going out to California to see my nephew get married. And, you know, when you're traveling, most of the time you just kind of let things go. And I had let things go, and I really didn't get off the 5 or so extra pounds that I had gained during Thanksgiving. And then I added to it a little bit and got to 6 or 7 pounds. And Christmas came along, and about the time I got to 8 or 9 pounds, I said, okay. So then I had started getting with the program, and I was still a couple of pounds up as of several weeks ago. And then our pastor called a 30-day fast, and so I've been trying to cooperate with him on that, and had been doing pretty well, and kind of I was within a pound of being where I like to be. And then with this fasting on lunch, I kind of got away from me last weekend, and so it was good to watch this Amen Solution and sort of get refocused and say, oh yeah, okay, there really are really good reasons to keep your weight under control and eat healthy. And pretty much the number one reason that he led with, which I thought was an excellent number one reason to lead with, was that according to his studies, and they do brain scans, he's a real certified medical doctor and runs a brain center where they do brain scans. They had a bunch of NFL players that they brought in to see if they had had brain damage and if the program would actually help restore some of the brain damage they had had from their years of playing in the NFL. And it did, and he was saying pretty much the number one reason that he knows at this point to keep your weight under control is because as your weight goes up, your brain size gets smaller. that it actually, the excess weight actually has a detrimental effect on your brain functioning. And that really is a pretty good reason to eat right and get the appropriate nutrients, those types of things. He said they've also documented how that increased weight affects depression and affects attention deficit disorder and, you know, a whole host of things. And they've done it with the brain scans and shown, and when they've gotten people on the program and they've lost some weight, all their brain scans look better. And so it's very, very interesting. And maybe one of the reasons that I really kind of liked his whole idea is that his ideas for dietary guidelines are pretty much exactly in line with mine. Fresh fruits, fresh vegetables, lean meats, lentils. He likes lentils. I like lentils. There are some diets that don't like you to have legumes at all, like the paleo. And I need to check and find out for sure whether lentils are considered legumes or not. But, you know, I love lentils. So, you know, if a diet is like, don't eat lentils, I'm like, what? So, anyways, so that was very good. A lot of good information there. It was interesting because his way of dealing with what I would classify as the flesh and the spirit was to say, you need to be a good parent to your inner child. Okay, well, that's fine. You know, it's the same basic idea. I don't think that thing which we battle against within us is that innocent, but that's all right. He did also say, though, that we need to step up our vigilance in confronting and controlling the automatic negative thoughts, they call them, the ants that infest our brain. And, you know, once again, I was listening to that going, that would be flesh. But one of the intriguing things about his whole solution is that, excuse me, a lot of the cravings and urges and things that we face sometimes might come down to a misbalance in our nutrients. And that really is, I can see that that could be very true. And he really recommends making sure that you're getting enough omega-3, and so he's a big proponent of fish oil, 3 grams a day, in fact, and then he's also a big proponent of vitamin D3, that because we spend so much time indoors, we don't get nearly all the vitamin D that we need, and he suggests having your D3 levels checked and amping up your D3 intake in terms of supplements to get your levels up to where they should be. And that's something that I've actually considered doing, because when I was reading The 4-Hour Body, that was one of the suggestions in there too. You know, it's just a matter of actually getting out and having the test done. But I need to look into that and find out, you know, what's involved, what the costs are, and yada, yada, yada. But anyway, so it was very interesting and very informative and inspiring. Like I said, after I watched that, I decided, you know what? it's time to get with the program. So I've been trying to do better in terms of my eating. And that was one of the reasons that I swung by Walmart, because I run myself out of my vegetables and stuff, and so I thought, you need to go by Walmart, get some vegetables, make yourself a good salad tonight, go from there. It feels like I'm getting ready to sneeze. I will hold out as long as I can. I didn't have much of a chance to talk to my buddies this week. My Tuesday morning, his schedule was full. They're in the midst of basketball with their kids, and so they're really busy, busy, busy. And my Tuesday evening now has migrated to a once a month. I did get a chance to talk to my buddy last night, but he had some specific things that he wanted to talk about, so we really didn't get into any general topics per se. And then my Thursday night had to go to a sale tonight, and so I didn't get a chance to talk to him. I am looking forward, hopefully, to seeing my Friday tomorrow morning. But I didn't see my Friday last Friday morning because he actually overslept. I got a call from him. We had planned to have breakfast, and I got a call from him about 6:45. And he said, "Oh man," he said, "I overslept. My wife didn't wake me up. Alarm." I said, "That's fine. It's no problem." So I just toddled on off, and I hopefully will get together with him tomorrow, because I haven't actually been able to talk to him for now several weeks now, so I kind of miss talking to him. Anyways, one of the other things that I came across this week, actually just today, that was very intriguing, and I hadn't really thought about it before, but it's very interesting. And the article was titled something like, you know, "Waiting for the Worst Earthquake Yet," or something like that. And the author was recounting, you know, the terrible devastation in Japan. And then had started to say that for reasons unknown to earthquake people, I don't know what they're called, earthquakeologists, whatever, for reasons unknown to them, that earthquakes sometimes create the phenomenon in the earth of a giant bell. So when you get one portion of the earth rung with this big earthquake, that eventually manifests itself other places. And he was recalling that there had been a major earthquake in Chile last year, I think it was. And then in recent months, there had been a major earthquake in New Zealand. And then, of course, most recently, there was a really, really major earthquake in Japan. And he was saying, what's interesting about this is you've got the Ring of Fire, where there are these fault lines that pretty much make an entire ring around the Pacific Ocean. And now you've had an event in the southeastern corner of the Ring of Fire. You've had an event in the southwestern corner of the Ring of Fire. You've had an event in the northwestern corner of the Ring of Fire. And pretty much the only quadrant that's left is the northeastern corner, which is the area of San Francisco and Oregon and Portland, Seattle, all that stretch in there. And according to measurements, that fault line that runs under San Francisco is in fact ready. I mean, well, that it is in fact, there is pressure built up there because the last major quake there, of course, was in 1904. And the point of the article that he was making was that we as humans sometimes forget that we exist on this world at the permission and at the kindness, I forget what word he used, of the geological forces. And that was really an interesting thought, that we think of this place that we call Earth as our stable home, that we're safe here. But one of the really interesting things that happens in a brain, and specifically that happened in my brain the first time I was in a major earthquake was that you can no longer depend on that old saying, one is safe on solid ground. Because you realize that because of earthquakes, the ground really isn't all that safe either. And when I was in the Philippines, we had a quake that was either a 6.7 or a 7.0, depending on whom you are talking to. And if you're talking to me, it was a 6.7, but if you're talking to my dad, it was a 7.0. I didn't bother to look it up today. But that earthquake, ever since that earthquake, I've had kind of a different approach to solid ground. I don't really expect, I suppose I assume it in daily life because I don't think about it that much, but I don't really expect that the ground will always be safe. It's the same transition that happened in me after we had a huge ice storm several years ago here in the Ozarks. I look at trees completely differently now because in the midst of that huge ice storm, the tops of trees were breaking off, flipping around, and coming down like spears, stabbing the ground. And so these beautiful trees that surround my home were no longer ornaments of landscaping. They were potentially lethal instruments. And it's very interesting. It gets back to that idea that we exist on the earth at the... I wish I could remember what the phrase was the guy used. That we exist on the earth. Maybe I'll look it up before I get my mail. One moment. Because it was a great phrase. I am getting my mail. Let's see. Dead air. Let's see, smart money. Nope, that was biggest retirement myths. I was reading through that as well, didn't get that article finished. Oh, this is taking way longer than it needs to take. The scariest, there it is. I just brushed the tree with my car. this was out of Newsweek, and it was, there it is, that mankind inhabits this earth subject to geological consent. I thought that was a really nice way of putting it. And some people may have a little problem with that, you know, because they may say, whoa, but God made the earth and he said it was good and it should be, why, that's not right. And yet if you look around the world and you pay any attention at all, you realize that, in fact, that is right, that we exist subject to geological consent. Because in the Philippines, we had hurricanes, we had earthquakes, huge geological events that would kill people. Here in the Ozarks, we have ice storms, we have tornadoes, obviously. Japan has experienced tsunamis, which, wow, the pictures from that are just incredible. Tsunamis and earthquakes. And this world is not safe. This life is not safe. But that's just the way life is. And one of the reasons, I think, that God did not make a place for us that was completely safe was to hopefully communicate to us that the point of being in this life is not to just be completely safe and content. It is those challenges in our life that come along that are not safe. Those challenges in which we are not content. It is those challenges which often spur us on and cause us to change the things that we need to change, cause us to rise to the occasion, cause us to become stronger. And so it's very interesting this week. I mean, everything's puttering along for me. I do have some challenges that I have created for myself. And we are getting into the spring of the year now, and we have passed through another season without a major ice storm, for which I am grateful. But I do try to keep in mind that my primary goal here is not to be safe, it is not to be content, but it is to meet the challenges and strengthen myself and to embrace my epics and my adventure. This is Phil Farron, and I have made it home.